It's good to have you here today. And yesterday we read in 1 Kings chapter 18 the conclusion to the story that we've been reading, and we saw that in a very dramatic way, sending down a consuming fire from heaven, Elohim proved that he is the only God. After the Baal and Asherah went silent, the gods, small g, of the people, God, capital G, spoke, and wow, did he ever. 1 Kings 18, verses 38 to 39 says, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, 'The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God.'" The answer of the one true God was so overwhelming that all, yes, all, the people fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, he is God." Meaning that Baal and Asherah are not gods. And of course they are not, because Baal and Asherah did not answer the prophets when they cried out, "O Baal, answer us," back in verse 26. All of the false gods that are worshipped this day are no different than Baal and Asherah. None of them exist and are therefore powerless to help you. Now that is by way of review, and I would like to hear how you receive this or how you are responding to this. And so if you would, I invite you to drop me an email and talk to me about the biblical text. Reflect with me about the biblical text. Let me give you my email address, although Karen will be along at the end of the broadcast to repeat it. Are you ready? It's Mark, M-A-R-K, at markaswallow.com. Mark, M-A-R-K, at markaswallow.com. Mark at markaswallow.com. Please write. I'd love to hear from you. Now, as we read through the story, I wanted you to see the full picture, and so I did not pause to give further insights into many of the verses that we read along the way. Today, I want to do that. And so that this is easy for you to follow and remember, I'll tell you up front that I have just two insights that I want to give for your consideration. The first deals with proof for the existence of the one true God. We've been using his name Elohim from Genesis 1, verse 1. I believe there will be those of you listening today who have had God reveal himself to you. At some point in your life, maybe even recently, God has given you reason to believe that he exists and is worthy of your worship. He is worthy of your followership. And when I say God, I mean the one true God who we have observed answering from heaven here in 1 Kings chapter 18. As he answered the prophets of Baal and Asherah, and the people on Mount Carmel, so he has answered you. So then I ask you the same question Elijah asked. How long will you hesitate between two opinions? That question is in 1 Kings 18, verse 21. There are those of you listening who need to make your choice. It is decision time. Are you going to continue to worship false gods in your life? Or are you going to worship Elohim, the one true God? What are you going to do? It may well be that to worship Elohim means that you're going to have to sacrifice a relationship that is important to you. You have a person of influence, that is someone you respect in your life, that is standing in the way of your worship of the one true God. Is it a parent? Is it an ancestor who's no longer with us on earth, but who looms around as a hungry ghost? Is this person your spouse that holds you back? Maybe if you are to decide for the worship of Elohim, an entire community of people will shame you and want nothing to do with you. I want to say to you today, the time for hesitation is over. God's spoken to you in an unmistakable way, and yet you still waver. I invite you today to decide for God, to be bold and courageous. You will find that God will take care of you. God will protect you. God will set you free from shame. The church community is waiting for you. We who worship the one true God will become like brothers and sisters, the very family of God. We'll adopt you. So stop going back and forth in your mind and heart and decide for Elohim today. I reread specifically for you part of verse 24 of 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18, verse 24. Call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers, He is God. You have called, He has answered, because He is God. And now verse 39. The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. That is the same response God's asking of you. Will you give it? I'm hoping to get an email from you today saying, yes, the Lord, He is God. And I have decided that I want to worship this God that you have been talking about. My second insight deals with people listening to the sound of my voice who worship gods, not because you're in love with them or have any particular affinity for them. You simply bow down to various altars because you believe it's what you get from the gods that really matters. It's not about love or having an ongoing relationship that you develop with these deities. It's simply a commercial transaction for blessing. You want the gods to bless you and make you prosper. The gods you worship are amoral or even immoral themselves. So they don't care if you are moral or good. The idea of these Christians that you can have a personal relationship with a loving God who actually cares about you living a moral and ethical life is ridiculous to you. You don't care about or want any of that. You just want to be blessed and not cursed. And for most of you, blessing means getting what you want. And the blessing can be summarized as power and peace. I'll summarize these blessings as power and peace. You worship so that you can receive power in return. For example, you want some sort of supernatural power, perhaps over spirits, that you believe can do you harm, give you bad luck, or can negatively change your destiny. This might also take on the very practical matter of power to be, say, the head of your company, or power to hit a baseball very far over fences, or power in a family, government, or some other agency or organization, even a religious organization, even in a church. Bless me, gods, so that I get what I want. And bless me, gods, so that I could have peace. Wow, so many people want peace. They do not have it, and they know it, and they are searching desperately for it. Are you such a person? You know, I run into people all the time who tell me, quote, I'm not religious, but I am spiritual. Or I'm not interested in being a Christian and I do not go to church, but I'm a spiritual person. What do they mean? Well, I usually just ask them what they mean. And the majority of time, if they will tell me, I hear about some quest for peace. Maybe going to yoga and meditating using certain breathing exercises gives you a sense of peace. Maybe slipping into an open Catholic church on a weekday when hardly anyone else is there, paying a small gift and lighting a candle, and then watching it burn for a few minutes gives you peace. Or maybe doing the same with incense at a temple. Recently, someone told me they believe that nature is God. I asked why, and he said, because when I'm out on my back porch with my coffee in the mornings, especially in the change of seasons, I just feel so peaceful. It's like the trees and the grass and the birds and the sky are speaking to me. Are you such a person today? Bless me, God, so that I get what I want. I need peace. My life is a wreck, and I know it, and I feel it. And something has to be done. And so, in a transactional manner, you turn to the gods of this world, and ask for peace. If this is descriptive of you, I want to remind you of 1 Kings 18, verses 26 and 29. Then they took the ox which was given them, and they prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, answer us. But there was no voice, and no one answered. When midday was past, they raved until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, but there was no voice. No one answered, and no one paid attention. Did you catch that? No voice, and no one answered. No one paid attention. If you think these gods that you worship are going to give you legitimate, genuine, effective, and lasting power and peace, then you're going to find out eventually that you're going to get more and more hopeless. These gods that you seek are not going to answer. They are not able to answer because they do not exist. They do not even exist. They cannot hear your prayer or your chant, your meditation, your questions, or your thoughts. And you might respond, well, we don't have such primitive gods like Baal and Asherah. Our gods, Mark, are sophisticated. We have 21st century gods. I'd suggest that you not bother trying to convince yourself or me of that. Here is what I believe you need to seriously consider. God, Elohim, does exist. And I challenge you to seek him and see what you find. And write to me about this. Ask me your questions. Tell me about your doubt and or challenge me. Come along with us on God Is and explore with me the Bible weekdays so that you learn about Elohim and see in him action, just as we have done in 1 Kings chapter 18 this week. I believe with all my heart there is only one God. The Lord, he is God. God is one. And please join me tomorrow at this same time as we continue to learn together who God is.